Listening Library presents Exit Pursued by a Bear by E.K. Johnston. Read for you by Georgina Marie.
I have a secret. A dark furry secret with big teeth. Less a secret, really. More a bear. Ogloff. I never saw a vessel of like sorrow, so filled and so becoming. The Winter's Tale.
I start running after school. Usually I get enough of a workout between practice and gym class that I don't do extra. But this week I feel like I might explode if I stop moving. So I run. I run up and down the streets of Palermo, looking at the houses and colored leaves on the trees, and trying to hold on to the feeling that my body is my own and limitless. I run on the country roads, the gravel crunching under my feet, until the smell of pine makes me feel sick and I fly back to the safety of concrete sidewalks. I run and run, and when I finally fall asleep at night, I am tired enough that I don't remember my dreams. One night, I pass the church my father and I attend whenever we're both home on Sunday morning. So, about once a month in a good month. I've passed the church every other night this week, but tonight, the light in the office is on. Once upon a time, churches were always open, a sanctuary if you needed them. But the world changes, I guess. I haven't given a single thought to the church since it happened, but when I see the light on, my feet slow down of their own accord, and I am knocking on the door before I know it. My fist sounds heavy against the wood. I am already having second thoughts, but it would be rude to run away. Just when I think maybe the light was left on accidentally, the door opens, and there is the minister, dressed in normal clothes, and looking a bit confused. When he sees me, his eyes widen for a moment before he makes his face neutral.
"Hello, Hermione," he says.
I wonder if he remembers my name because he's good at his job, or because I've been on the news. He doesn't ask me if I'm okay. Instead, he waves me in and shuts the door. Maybe it's because I'm in a church. Maybe it's because this is the man who baptized me. But I'm not afraid. "Hello, Reverend Rob," I say, and the door latch echoes in the hallway. I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
No. Just practicing for Sunday. All this time and I still get a bit of stage fright leading up to a sermon.
I follow Rob back into his office, which is warmly lit and full of old books. He waves me into one of the seats. I have just realized what it is I want to say. What I want to ask him.
"Would you like water or tea?" he asks. "That's all I have on hand."
"I'm fine, thank you," I say, feeling profoundly awkward. I keep finding new ways to do that. "I don't come here very often."
"That's okay."
He's sitting comfortably in his chair. People are never comfortable around me anymore.
"I know how life goes. Schedules and the church don't always get along, so I do my best to operate an open door policy."
"Right," I say. "I have two favors to ask. One's a bit presumptuous. The other is also presumptuous."
"Please, feel free to ask."
"Thank you." I pause for a moment to gather my thoughts. I think of the looks I've been getting at the grocery store and take a deep breath. Please, don't ask people to pray for me. Part 1. And summer's lease hath all too short a date. Chapter 1. I swear to God, Leo, if you throw one more sock, I am going to throw you in the lake myself, I shout, knees sticking to the vinyl as I turn to face the back of the bus. The boys had claimed the back when we boarded, and since it smelled weird, well, more weird, we were happy to let them have it. I hadn't expected a constant barrage of hosiery, though.
Like you could, Winters, he shouts back.
The other boys hoot in laughter. I may be small, I reply, but I'm crafty.
Don't I know it?
Leo leers, and the hooting devolves into outright catcalls. I fire back with a wadded sock, barely missing Leo, but managing to nail Clarence, who looks properly chastened. I glare at the rest, and then turn sharply to face the front. But by the time I'm in my seat again, I'm smiling. The other girls lean in towards me, ribboned braids dropping over shoulders like the least threatening snake pile in the world. Of course, that's what the snakes probably want you to think. I can feel the pavement change beneath the bus, just one step above gravel. We're close now.
Seriously, Hermione,
Polly whispers just loud enough for the other girls to hear. My co-captain and best friend feels it too. We're putting Leo's ass in the lake this year.
Please, we've got to come up with something better than that.
Totally, squeals Astrid, who is 15 and will agree to anything Polly and I say. The power is dangerous. Or it could be. It's definitely fun.
This is going to be the best cheer camp ever, says another new girl as she leans over the back of the bench.
She's still so short, I bet her knees are lifting off her seat as she tries to get closer to me and Polly. I can't remember her name. That's inexcusable. I have to be better.
Girls? I say, like I'm telling them the secrets of the universe. This is going to be the best cheer year ever.
Go Bears, shouts Polly, flinging her perfectly manicured hands in the air and shaking pom-poms she doesn't have. The boys are stomping along and back. Even the bus driver is in her spell, and I catch him looking back and smiling in his mirror. I'm the only one who knows her well enough to know that she is being excruciatingly sarcastic. That is Polly's superpower. She's a cheerleader for want of another choice, and while she looks like the perfect model, underneath the plastic veneer is a capacity for scorn and contempt I'm glad is on my side. Whatever the odds, if Polly is cheering for you, you are a force to be reckoned with. As always, Polly's carefully timed and cultivated enthusiasm is contagious, and as we planned, when the bus rolls under the huge wooden Welcome to Camp Manitowabing sign, the windows are down, and the whole lot of us are singing about how much we love our school and how proud we are to be the Fighting Golden Bears. Polly might think it's ridiculous, and she's probably right, but I don't care. We're a team, from the newest recruits trying desperately to fit in, to my boyfriend, who has still not stopped throwing laundry at my head. We're a team, and we're entering my last ever camp as the loudest and proudest one here. I wouldn't have it another way. The bus pulls to a stop, tires crunching on the unpaved drive, and we stay in our seats as a minivan pulls up beside us. Coach Caledon gets out. She stretches for a moment, and her perfectly straight jet black hair nearly touches the ground. She's around 40, but her face is smooth, with skin a color we'd all kill for. She still has an athlete's body, thin, muscular, and supremely coordinated. But I know she tore an ACL in university, and long car rides are hard on her. When she's loose enough to walk without a perceptible limp, she heads for the office. Meanwhile, her daughter flies out of the passenger seat and a moment later vaults the bus's steps in one very impressive leap when the driver opens the door for her.
Hey, everybody, she calls out.
Flory's only 10,
but we all love her to death.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?